All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is Shavuos daf beis. We begin Masechta Shavuos. Tomorrow, we'll have a discussion. The Gemara will have a discussion. Why now? Why Shavuos now? Shavuos has nothing to do with the holiday of Shavuos. Now, I'll tell you the truth. You could be fooled because Shavuos is 49 blot. So, yeah, so it is called Shavuos. It has 49 blot, but it has nothing to do with Shavuos. Okay. The first things first, what is Shavuos all about? So as its name indicates, it's all about making oaths. The Torah mentions this primarily in the end of Parshas Vayikra. End of Parshas Vayikra Perakei, and I'll come back to that. Pasuk on nefesh, asher tiga, bechol davar tamei, benivlas chayet tamei, benivlas behema tamei, benivlas sheretz tamei, v'nel amimenu hu tamei, v'ashem. A person is tamei, comes into contact with tamei, and goes into the base of mikdash, so that individual is guilty. Pasuk gimel, ki yiga b'tumas ha'adam, lechol tumaso, sheret ma'bo, v'nel amimenu, v'hu yada v'ashem, he comes into contact with a tamei person, and he walks into the Beis HaMikdash. O nefesh, pasuk dalet, o nefesh, ki si shava levate b'sfasayim, if something comes out of his mouth, if he has an utterance out of his mouth, l'harao le'tiv, both to do something bad or to do something good, l'chol asher yivate adam, and any utterances of an individual, b'shvua, and he makes it with a shvua, v'ne'la mimenu v'hu yada v'ashem, and then he forgets about his shvua, violates his shvua, and he's guilty la'achas mi'eleh. Okay, so in this parsha, in this section of Parshas Vayikra, so the Torah talks about three things. It talks about suppression of testimony. It talks about being tummy and walking into the base of mikdash, and it talks about making an oath and not keeping your oath that you make. Okay, the consequence of this, of all these actions, is that a person has to bring a karban. The Gemara has a special name for this karban. I'm just going to read a little bit more in the Pesukim, just give us a little more background. Ve'evis HaShamom, Pasuk Hei, Vayaki HaShem L'achas Me'el, if a person's guilty, for any one of these things, Ve'his Vada Asher Chata Aleha. So he has to make a confession. Ve'evis HaShem L'Hashem L'Chatas Asher Chata Nekevam Netzon Kisvah Sira Yizim L'Chatas. So you have to bring an asham. An asham is very similar to a carbon chatas. V'chiper alav ha-kohen mechataso, and that way he'll achieve a kapara. V'im lo sagia yado dey said. Now, here, in these particular offenses in the Torah gives us a financial break, if you will. V'im lo sagia yado dey said, v'evis ha-shama asher chatas, tey sarim ushne b'nei yonah. You can't afford an animal. You can't afford a goat. You can't afford a... you can't afford a lamb, so then you get to get downgraded, and you get to bring two birds. Birds are cheaper. Two bnei yona, two tarim. Echad lachatas ve'echad la'ola. One serves as a chatas, one is an ola. It's interesting when you can afford an animal, it's one animal brought as a chatas. When you take birds, birds always come in pair. Why I don't know, but birds always come in pair. One bird is a chatas, the other bird's an ola. And you do something called Malika, which when we get to Zvachim, we'll discuss that. And then the Torah gives instructions of how to do the birds. And finally, to wrap all this up, and what if you can't afford birds? Then you bring a mincha offering, a tenth of an eifa, it's flour, you bring it as a carbon chatas, no oil, no frankincense. And you bring a chatas, which is made up of nothing more than just flour. Okay. And so, in these particular averos, suppression of testimony, being tamei walking into the base of mikdash, or making a shvuah, so the Torah gives you a carbon chatas asham, let's call it an asham, which fluctuates in price depending on what you can or cannot afford. The Gemara from this point forward, and we're going to call it a carbon ole v'yared. Ole v'yared, literally the word means it goes up and down. It means that depending on your financial status, that's the kind of carbon you bring. Why for the, specifically these three isurim in the Torah is a carbon ole v'yared as opposed to the other isurim, which is a carbon chatas? I don't know. Xeris HaKasuf. But that's the layout over here. Okay. Masechta Shavuot, which we're about to begin right now, structurally is made up of eight parakim. The first two parakim of Masechta Shavuot, which we're about to embark upon, has nothing to do with Shavuot. In fact, we'll touch on Shavuot at the very beginning of the Masechta, the very beginning, the very first line of the Mishnah, but that's it. For the first two parakim, we're going to be talking about Tumas Beis HaMikdash. Being tummy and walking into the Beis HaMikdash has nothing to do with Shavuos, but after I read to you the Parsha, so now you understand. The Parsha in which Shavuos is there and contained also contains the Parsha of going into the Beis HaMikdash while tummy. So the Masechet decided, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi decided, so this will be as good a place as any to talk about walking into the Beis HaMikdash while tummy. True, this really does belong more in Seder Kachim and much less over here in Seder Nezikin. So that's true. But it came along for the ride. So for the first two... It's in the same Parsha, in the Torah. Okay, that's it. And so it came along for the ride. So although this is now, for the next two Prakim of Gemara, we're going to be doing really more Kachim-related matters, but at least there's some explanation as to why it is here in Masechet Shavuos. Okay, good. With the Mishnah, now the way the first parak is structured, this happens every now and then. This is a Ravina Ravashi issue. They don't break up the Mishnah, meaning that we're going to learn today all the Mishnahs of the first parak, because Daf Beis, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, from beginning to end, covers all the Mishnayos of the first parak. Then, Ravina and Ravashi lay out the Gemara after that point in time. Usually, it's not structured that way. Usually, the Mishnayos are broken up a little more piecemeal, and then we comment on every Mishnah. Okay, but that's not how the first parak of Shavuos works. We've seen other parakim and shas operate in this manner, and for whatever reason, that's what Ravina and Ravashi decided. Mishnah. Shavuot Shtayim Shein Arba. Yedisa Tumah Shtayim Shein Arba. Yitzia Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. Maros Negayim Shnayim Shein Arba. There are four areas in Halacha, not necessarily related, not related, but there are four areas in Halacha where we could throw out this term Shtayim Shein Arba. It's two which turns into four. Meaning that there are two principal categories, and then there are two subcategories that fit into the two principal categories. Okay, the four areas of halacha are shavua, making an oath, yediyas tuma, knowledge of tuma, going out on Shabbos, hotzah b'Shabbos, and nega and negayim. And the Mishnah does not elaborate any more than that, right? Correct. The Mishnah does not elaborate any more than that. So let's go through a couple of Rashi's together to get our to get just a basics of each one of these. Okay, we'll start off with the Shavua. Shavua Shtayim Shein Arba. Now the Pasuk says, now I read to you the Pasuk in at the end of Parshas Vayikra, Lahara Uleitiv, the Rashi, the third line down on the page. Ksiva Bikra Dichsiv Lahara Uleitiv Mefarsh B'Mishnah Perek Shlishi Ochel Leitiv Lo Ochel Ochel Leitiv Lo Ochel Lahara. So for an example, I'm going to say, see that loaf of bread over there? I'm going to make an oath that I'm going to eat that piece of bread. That's lehitiv. That's a good thing, a positive thing. And then lahara is, I'm going to make an oath that I'm not going to eat that piece of bread. Now that's not a bad thing per se. It's just, it's an inaction. It's an inactivity. Right? Lo ochel. Shema'ana etzmo. Well, Rashi does explain that. It is bad in the sense that you're being ma'ana. You're refraining from eating, which in and of itself is a bad thing. The words lahara u'leitiv, says Rashi, says the Gemara, is talking about the future. I will eat that bread and I won't eat that bread. So, when we're talking about Shavua, making a false oath, the primary categories in the Torah is, I will eat that bread lehitiv, or I will not eat that loaf of bread lahara. Those are your two primary categories. And if I violate what I said I was going to do, so that is a violation of my Shavua. Fine. Uveperek Gimel, and then when we get to the third perek, why does Rashi keep quoting the third perek? Because the third perek is really the beginning of Shavuos, right? The first two perakim, we're not going to be talking about Shavuos. And in the third perek, Marbe min haMikra, af dvarim, she'in behem ahara v'hatava, umiyushtaymin v'su lo davar v'chilufo. And it turns into four categories. How, says the next Rashi, yesh l'rabos miribu eksuvim k'demafarsh beperek Gimel, in other words, instead of talking about the future, I talk about the past. I write, who ate that loaf of bread? Right? I promise, I make an oath that I did not eat that loaf of bread. And I'm talking about something that I did in the past. Or, I make an oath that I did eat that loaf of bread. Right? And you make a shvuah. If the shvuah that you made is false, so now you're in violation of shvuah. Right, Shavuos Bitui. L'shavar kigon achalti v'hu lo achal, o lo achalti v'achal. Okay? So the two primary categories, we say primary because that's the one that's actually mentioned in the Torah, lahara lehitiv, that's for the future. The two secondary categories are the ones in the past, I ate or I did not eat. Fine.
But if you make it, the future is more like a neder, right? If I will not...
Neder and Shavuah are more or less interchangeable. The Ran, one of the first Rans in Nedarim says that the only difference between neder and Shavuah is it going on the object or going on the person. When I make a neder, the focus is on the object, right? That loaf of bread over there, that loaf of bread is also to me, right? But the focus is on the object. When I make a Shavuah, it's more on the person. I will not eat that loaf of bread. But that's right, that Ron says that's the primary difference between Neder and Shavua. Otherwise, in concept, it's basically the same. Okay, next. Yediyas HaTumah. Chiyuv Karban Olav Yard Machmas Tumah Mikdash V'Kadash V'Aksuva Eitzel Shavuos Bitui. Right? Rashi over here tells you what I mentioned earlier. I got it from Rashi. It's in the same Parsha in the Torah at the end of Parsha's Vayikra. Right? The Bitui, Shavuos Bitui. Right next to becoming tummy with a mikdash. Okay, we're not going to go through this Rashi. Shtaim Shein Arba, once again, two categories that really turn into four categories. Okay? What are the two categories? The next Rashi. Shtaim Shein Arba. Shtaim Ksiva Dichsiva Nela Mimena Vuhu Tamei. Mashma Shinit Alma Mimena Tuma Vaide Oso Halam. Achal Kodesh Hare Achas. Okay, one of two possibilities when it comes to Tumas Mikdash. First of all, I'm Tame. Okay, we'll start there. I forget that I'm Tame. In my state of forgetting, in my state of unawareness, and it's very easy to forget because when you're Tame, you know, you don't feel it, right? It's not a physical ailment. It's a condition. It's a spiritual condition. I'm just in a state of Tuma. When I'm Tame, I can either A, in my state of unawareness, eat karban, or B, walk into the base of Mikdash. Okay? And then after that, I remembered I was Tameh. So those are your two primary cases of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadasha. And then Rashi gives us a little grammar over here. Why is it called Yedios? Knowledges. So Rashi points out, as we're going to learn today in our Mishnah, that the only way you're going to be chayiv this karban olah v'yared is if you had knowledge in the beginning and knowledge at the end. Meaning the state of unawareness was sandwiched by, I knew I was tamei beforehand, I just forgot. And then after either walking to the base of Mikdash or eating Kodesh, I then remembered again that I was Tamei. So Yediyos, because they're always going to have to be a Yediyah before and Yediyah afterwards. What are the subcategories? Shnei Shein Arba, the next Rashi. Yesh Larabos Min HaMikra O Shnei Chiyuvim Ha'alam Kodesh Ve'alam Mikdash V'Zacharhu Es HaTuma. I always knew I was Tamei. Never forgot the fact that I was Tamei. This piece of meat, I forgot it was Kodesh. Meaning that this was a piece of carbon. I'm sitting in Yerushalayim. I'm sitting at a table. There was some carbon brought before me. And I forgot that this was carbon. Like, I knew it was carbon, and then I just had a lapse, an unawareness. I forgot that that was carbon, I ate it, and then I remembered that that was carbon. Or, I knew I was Tamei, and I walked into the Beis HaMikdash not remembering that it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Can people be that unaware? Sure. See it all the time. Okay?
What if the guy doesn't know that he's not supposed to eat Kaddish?
Right. So that's also, right, that could also be part of the, if he never knew, so then there's no Yediyah beforehand. Right?
And he has the Yediyah that he's Tamei, but he doesn't know the Halakha that he's not supposed
so to if eat. He knew at one point, so that's called Halam. That's called being unaware. If he never knew, so then that's a different category. Okay.
It's neither of these two.
Right.
Is that a third category?
No. No. It's the two principal ones are forgetting your Tamei and either eating carbon or going into the Beis HaMikdash or knowing your and the second ones are knowing your Tamei but forgetting this is Basar Kodesh. Or forgetting that that's a Beis HaMikdash.
But both of those, you're aware of Allah what Allah is. Right?
No, it could be. There could be.
You know what you're supposed to do. Category.
And you're eating it because.
But the thing is that what
you knew you were Tamei. You knew it was Kodesh. You just didn't know it was Asar.
What if
you
didn't know?
Well, I'm saying, did you know?
Separate category.
I hear that, but I don't know. In other words, the Mishnah only gives us four categories to work with. Okay, we'll come back. Okay. Next, Yitzias Hashtabes Shabbos Shtein Shein Arba. And the Malach Avotzah, this is exactly the same Mishnah as the first Mishnah of Shabbos, right? Very first Mishnah in Shabbos. Two, which is four. In fact, the Mishnah over there uses exactly this terminology, Shtein Shein Arba. Right? There is there's Hotzah and there's Hachnasa. There is going in. There's taking out of the house and there's going into the house. Right? The pasuk says. Don't take out from a private domain on Shabbos to a public domain. Now, as Rashi points out, this I'll do outside. As Rashi points out, there could be two permutations of this. Either it's the guy inside doing both, doing all the work, meaning picking it up from inside the house, placing it outside, or as the Mishnah Shabbos describes, there's a poor person outside, a wealthy person inside the house. He picks up the object and he puts it in the hand of the poor person outside. That's one example. Or a second example is that the poor person reaches in to the house, takes the object from the house, and brings it outside. So those are two examples, two primary examples, where a person violated the Malacha of Hotza'ah. What are the other two? Hachnasa. Everything we just said, just going the other way. Going from the outside of the house to the inside of the house. Okay. And then finally, the last thing mentioned in the Mishnah is Maris Negayim. Maris Negayim, right, the Rashi over here, it's about six lines down after the lines become wide. Shamitzara mevi alem karban latara so. Shnaim ktsuvim mimikra, there are two types of tzaras. Two mentioned in the Torah. Seis and Baharis. And then they are further subdivided. There are toladas of Se'es and there's a tolada of Baharis. The Se'es and Baharis are different shades of white, right? If you're into your colors. And then there are sub-shades of that as well. Okay, so that's two, which is four. In these four areas of Halacha, Shvuah, Tumah, Shabbos, and Negayim, so there are two primary categories, followed then by two subcategories. Okay? The Mishnah only mentions it here because, you know, the Mishnah likes organizing. Mishnah loves organizing. So we have an opportunity to organize these four halachas and put them in the same mold, so the Mishnah does that. Okay? From this point forward now, we are done with the organization. And now we're going to talk about Tumas Mikdash VeKadasha. So, get ready. Two Perakim of Shavuos that really is more Kachim than it is anything else. The classic case in which you're going to bring the special carbon Olav Yored is going to be a case where you remember that that you were Tamei, you forget, you lapse into an unawareness, you either eat carbon or you go into the Beis HaMikdash. After that point in time, you remember again, And then you're going to bring your carbon olah v'yareid. So that's your classic example. Yedia b'tchila v'yedia b'sof. Yesh by yedia b'tchila v'ain by yedia b'sof. Now, you can have a yedia b'tchila, but you won't have a yedia b'sof, right? In other words, you knew you were tamei. You went into the Beis HaMikdash, you ate carbon, and then you never got out of your lapse. You never got out of your unawareness. Now, if you never come out of your unawareness, so you, right, you don't know. In other words, you are now in a perpetual state. You're in a constant state of being unaware. So why would the Mishnah even discuss something like that? What difference does it make? So first, let's see. We'll get a better understanding of what becomes this such an individual. The Mishnah writes the following. So yesh by yedia b'tchila ve'ein by yedia b'sof si'ir anasa bifnim v'yom ha'kipurim tola. So here you're going to get something's going to provide an abeyance. Something's going to give you like a little bit of shelter, a little protection. Si'ir anasa bifnim, the goat on Yom Kippur that's done inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. On Yom Kippur there are three goats in total. Two of them we're familiar with, right? That's the Seir LaZazel and the Seir LaHashem. Two goats resembling one another. The Mishnah in Yuma describes that they're identical to one another and everything. And then there's a lottery drawn, and one goat is going to be determined to be LaHashem, and the other one's LaZazel. The one's LaHashem, shechted, and the blood is sprinkled inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is what's called the Seir Bifnim. And then the other goat is the Seir LaZazel. That goat is sent out into the desert and thrown over a cliff. There's a third goat on Yom Kippur. Where is it? This week's Parsha. Right? In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Pinchas, so we go through all the different karbanos that are brought on every Yontif. So on Yom Kippur, there's a Musaf. There's carbon Musaf. One of the carbon Musafs of Yom Kippur is a Seir, is a goat. Right, not the Seir LaZazel, not the Seir LaHashem. It's the third goat on Yom Kippur. Okay, three goats in total that are born Yom Kippur. Says the Mishnah here in Shavuos that the Seir Anase Bifnim, the goat that's brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the inner chamber, and Yom Kippurim Tola Achiode Lo Aviyavi Baola Aviyorein. And it will there serve as a protection. We're going to see the Gemara later on. The Gemara is basically going to say, it shelters you. In other words, right now, you violate the Isser of going into the Mikdash while being Tameh. You never came out of your unawareness, so you don't know about it. Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur rolls around, and just, I can't believe I'm saying this, in just 10 short weeks, right, we're going to, 11 actually, Yom Kippur. But, it's crazy. So the... Huh? So it's not a kapara. It doesn't give you a kapara, but what it does is it basically shelters you and protects you from any repercussions of that which you've done, and until you actually get out of your unawareness, if and when you ever do realize that you were tummy and walked into the Beis HaMikdash, so then you're still going to have to bring a carbon olah v'yareid. Yom Kippur does not take care of it. It's not a kapara. But if I remember the Gemara correctly, it's Hagana. It's right, Hagana. It's a protection. It serves as protection. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah. Ein ben yediyah b'tchila, aval yesh ba yediyah b'sof. You never had a yediyah at the beginning. Right? Hard to imagine, but it's not that crazy. A person never learned. Right? Tinuk shenishba. Right? The classic terminology the Gemara uses. He's a child who never grew up with any type of education, formal or informal. Right, he doesn't know. So he doesn't have yediyah b'tchila, aval yesh ba yediyah b'sof. And then afterwards he learns, you know, you're not allowed to become tamei and go into the Beis HaMikdash. And then he says, oh, I didn't know that. I'm tamei and I walked into the Beis HaMikdash. So he didn't have yediyah in the beginning, but he did have yediyah b'sof. Si'ir ha'naseh b'chutz v'yom ha'kippur mechaper. So for that, the si'ir that is naseh b'chutz, meaning the outer si'ir, that's our Parsha Seir, Parsha's Pinchas Seir. The goat that's brought outside. Outside over here just simply means on the outer Mizbeach, the Mizbeach that is in the courtyard of the Azara. The Seir and Asa Bechutz and Yom HaKippurim are going to be Mimechaper. Shenemar Melvar Chatas HaKippurim. It says in this week's Parsha, in addition to the Chatas of Kippurim, Amasha Zemechaper, Zemechaper. And it basically teaches us that the Seir Musaf of Yom Kippur is kind of like the Seir HaPanim on Yom Kippur as well. Now, the seer of Panim on Yom Kippur is very special. It's very unique. It happens only one time a year. I mean, so does the seer Musaf. But the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkles the blood on the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ma ha-Panim in mechaper al davar sheyesh bo yediyah, afachitzon in mechaper el al davar sheyesh bo yediyah. Okay? And just like the inner one achieves a kapara for somebody who has the yediyah, although the inner one is for a yediyah in the front end, the outer one also serves as a kapar for someone who has a yediyah, but that's someone who has a yediyah at the back end. Okay. V'asha'in by yediyah lo b'tchil lo b'sof. What if you don't have any yediyah whatsoever? You're just totally unaware. You don't know that you were tummy beforehand, you don't know you were tummy afterwards, right? You never had any yediyah. Sire ha-riga'olim. Usire Rosh Chodashim Mechapim Diver of Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, for that, your goats of Yantif and your goats of Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh and Yantif, you have your Kabbalah Musaf. On each one of those, there is a Seir Lechatas. This week's Parsha, you'll follow the laning in this week's Parsha. You'll see every Yantif has a Seir Lechatas, every Rosh Chodesh has a Seir Lechatas. They provide kapara for the unaware person whose tummy goes into the Beis HaMikdash. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Amar Sirei Regal Mechapim Avalo Sirei Rosh Chodashim. No. He agrees, Rabbi Shimon agrees to a certain degree that the Seir of Yantiv, that the Seir of Yantiv is Mechapir for unawareness, but not the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. Okay. V'ama Seirei Rosh Chodesh Mechaprim. Now we know the Seir of Rosh Chodesh is Mechaprim. It's got to be Mechaprim because the Torah says it serves as a carbon chatas. Chatas always provides some sort of kapara. Ala Torah Sha'achal Esatame. Only for the limited circumstance in which a person who's Tahor eats Tamei carbon. Right? Not intentionally, not bemazed, but in a state of shogeg. For that, and only for that, according to Rabbi Shimon, your Seir Rosh Chodesh is going to be mechaber. Okay, Rabbi Meir Omer, there's a third opinion. Kol haSeirim kaparasam shava al tumas mikdash vekadashav. Every Seir, the tuma is going to be the kapara is going to be equivalent. It's going to be for tumas mikdash vekadashav. Okay, so in our Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir, three-way machlokas, exactly what the Seirim are there for. The Seir of Yom Kippur, the Seir of Yantiv, and the Seir of Rosh Chodesh.
What has to be brought in the case of a court that made the wrong decision?
That's a different... But that's earlier in the Parsha of Vayikra. Okay, it's not our topic for today. All right, fine. Okay, so let's finish up. Right, we'll finish up the daf. Okay, three way machlokas. All this is going to be based on psukim. When we go through the Gemara, the Gemara is going to help us out over here. The Gemara is going to take us through the various psukim in terms of how each one derives his particular position from. What is interesting, the Gemara is going to take up now, is Rabbi Shimon. Okay? Haya Rabbi Shimon Omer. Seir Rosh Chodesh, and the Mishnah here gives us like a little review, because in truth be told, it is a lot of information. Haya Rabbi Shimon Omer. Seir Rosh Chodesh Mechaper Malator Sha'achla Satameh. So, your Rosh Chodesh goat, right, that's going to be good for your person who's Tahor, who eats Basar Tameh, not, right, meat, carbon meat, which is Tameh. Okay, which he should not have done, and he did so, not intentionally. V'shel regalim mechaper malshein by yediyah lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof. Your yontif goats are going to be there to serve as a kapara for the totally unaware. He didn't know before he was Tamei, didn't learn afterwards he was Tamei, but he was Tamei and he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. So your Yontif goats will achieve kapar for that. V'shal yom ha-kippur mechaper al she'en ba yediyah b'tchila ava yesh ba yediyah b'self. And your Yom Kippur goat will be mechaper for the individual who never knew beforehand but found out afterwards. Okay. Fine. That is Rabbi Shimon. The benefit, if you will, of Rabbi Shimon is that there's no double dipping. According to Rabbi Shimon, each goat serves its own special particular kapara, right? The goat of Rosh Chodesh, Yontif, Yom Kippur, each one of them has a special purpose to it, and it's not a repeat performance one after the other. Okay. Amru lo, they say to Rabbi Shimon, Mao sheyikrevu zeh bazeh. So they say to Rabbi Shimon, look, Rabbi Shimon, according to you, let me ask you this question, okay? Hard to imagine, but let's just imagine. Comes along Rosh Chodesh, and we lost our goat. Okay? Goat runs away. We had it marked, we put a little band on its leg, we knew what it was intended for, we designated it as a Se'ir L'chatas, and it runs away and we lose it. Okay, so, not the end of the world. We'll get a replacement, and we'll bring its replacement on Rosh Chodesh. And then, later in the month, we find the goat. Are you going to tell me, Rabbi Shimon, that you can bring that goat on another day? Let's say you want to bring it now on Yontif. Look, it was designated as a Seir L'chatas. We didn't bring it on Rosh Chodesh because we lost it. Can you bring it on Yontif now? If you're Rabbi Meir, the answer is absolutely sure. Because according to Rabbi Meir, each one of these goats, Rosh Chodesh, Yontif, Yom Kippur, each one of these goats serves the same purpose. So according to Rabbi Meir, the answer is going to be yes. What about you, Rabbi Shimon? Do you think you can do that now? It wouldn't kill me if Rabbi Shimon would have said, no, you can't do that. But he says that Amar Lahem Yikruvo. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, I happen to feel that, no, it could be brought. Your Rosh Chodesh goat, which you lost, can be brought on Yontif. Or your Yontif goat that you lost could be brought on Yom Kippur. Okay? I think it could be done. So Amru Lo, so they say to him, but I don't understand. Hold Ein Kaparas and Shaveh. But you hold, Rabbi Shimon, that it does. It's not the same thing. It doesn't achieve the same kapara. So how can you take a goat that was set aside for Rosh Chodesh, which is for one type of kapara, and use it on a Yontif, which is another type of kapara?
Is it in place of or in addition to?
No, in place of. In place of. Amar lahem, kulam baim lechaper Thomas Mikdash Bekadash. So Rabbi Shimon says to them, you're too detail oriented. You lost the forest in the trees. Look, you're right. According to me, it serves a special, specific kapara. But don't lose the overarching theme. They all basically have the same theme. It's there to serve as a kapara for somebody who violates the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And okay, you're right. It's not exactly the same. But it's basically the same idea. You're going into the Beis HaMikdash while Tameh. You had an unawareness. You didn't have an unawareness. You knew in the front. You're right. It's not exactly the same, but it's basically the same. So, to me, I don't think it's a problem at all. You lost your Rosh Chodesh Seir. You find it later. You bring it on Yontif. Period. End of that discussion. Okay. Now, the next part of the Mishnah is going to sound a little bit like a retread. Right, I'm going to read the next part of the Mishnah. You're going to be like, wait, didn't he just do that? Didn't I just hear that already? And the answer is going to be, yeah. It just happens to be that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda has a slightly different version of what Rabbi Shimon said. So what the Mishnah is going to do is going to give us his opinion of what Rabbi Shimon said and then go through the same discussion that we just went through. Okay, so the only thing that we really gain from this next part of the Mishnah is a slightly different version of what Rabbi Shimon actually said. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amar Mishmo, he says, in his name, meaning in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Seir Rosh Chodesh Mechaper Malatar Shach L'Satame. Your Seir Rosh Chodesh serves as a kapara for the guy who's Tahor, who eats Basar Kodesh, which is Tameh. Mosif alem shavar galim shemechabim al tar shach alas atameh v'al she'ein ba yediyah lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof. Move up now. Go to your Musaf of Yantav, your carbon Musaf of Yantav, specifically your Se'ir L'chatas and Yantav, serves as a kapara. For that plus, meaning that this version of Rabbi Shimon, your next Musaf up in line, is going to cover the Rosh Chodesh Musaf's kapara, and in addition to that, also, Shvay Alatosha Chlasatame, Ve'al Shein Ba'yidiyah Lo B'tchila V'lo B'sof. And for the person who's totally unaware, Mosif Alem Shal Yom Kippur. Now, your carbon chatas of Yom Kippur is going to be a kapara. Shema kapra malatasha achlas tameh. Right, the baseline, the Torah person eating carbon tameh. Al shem by yedila b'tchila v'lo b'self. Also, it will serve a kapara for the person who is totally unaware. And finally, al shein by yedia b'tchila aval yeshba yedia b'self. Never knew beforehand about this idea about being Tamei and walking into the Beis HaMikdash, but learns afterwards. Okay. Fine. It's almost identical, but each successive Musaf is going to cover the Kapara of the lower, and in addition to that, one more than that. Amar lo, and then here we go again. Amar lo, they say to Rabbi Shimon, what if I lost my Rosh Chodesh? I can then bring it on Yantif. And here, by the way, the question is even a little bit sharper. Because over here, right, it really is less than Yantif. It's not different, it's less. Because Yantif covers this and more. So you're going to bring your Musaf, your Rosh Chodesh Musaf on Yantif. Amar lahem, hein amru lo. So I'm sorry, Amar lahem, hein, he says yes. I'm alone. Can you show Yom Kippurim craving Rosh Chodeshim? Avahech to Rosh Chodeshim craving Yom Kippurim. How are you going to bring a Rosh Chodesh Musaf that you lost? How are you going to use that on Yom Kippur and it serve that kapara? Lechaper kapar sheinu shalom. I'm alehem. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, kulam bayim lechaper al tomas mikdash vekadashav. Fine. Again, it's the same answer that we saw earlier. I'm looking at it from the broader perspective. You're right. In details, it's a little bit less than the kapara of Yom Kippur. But as far as generalities are concerned, it generally serves as a kapara for Tumas Mikdash Vikadashav. Period. Okay. And finally, last part of the Mishnayos over here. Al Zadon Tumas Mikdash Vikadashav. What if this person's mazed? Right? I know I'm Tameh. I know that's the base of Mikdash. And right now, I don't care. I'm going to go in there. While in a state of tumah. Now, as we're going to learn, we get to say to Masechta Krisus, this is an Isser Kares, right? This is a serious offense, walking into the base of Mikdash, knowing that that's the base of Mikdash, knowing that you're Tameh, and you do it. Al Zadon Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. So now you want a kapara, meaning after this point in time, after your period of rebellion, you say, you know, I was silly, okay? I inexcusable. I want to do tshuva. Tshuva obviously is always going to be an avenue. We always have the opportunity to do tshuva, and so the Mishnah now will lay out for us what is the tshuva process for this individual who knew he was tamei, knew that it was the base of Mikdash, did it anyway. So what's his tshuva process? So the al zadon tumas mikdash v'kadashav si'ir anas lebifnim v'yom ha-kippurim mechaprim. So for that he's going to need the si'ir anas lebifnim, the inner goat, and he's going to need Yom Kippur. Obvious question?
Does he get careful?
What happened to tshuva? Right? Isn't tshuva a necessary component to receiving a kapara?
He needed the mazed also.
Yeah, I know. That's why the question is. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's included by the
Mishnah. So one possibility, right, Rabbi Goldstein? That's certainly a possibility. Is that when the Mishnah says the words Yom Kippur, it means tshuva. But to be fair and honest, I happen to know. I have some inside information. It's not a bad suggestion, but it's not really the correct answer over here.
But I thought he did something for Mishnah. There is no korban to.
He's not going to bring a carbon. Meaning, but the carbon that's brought on Yom Kippur helps him in his tshuva process.
But why? If he did the amazing, why would he be covered by something? For That's usually generally intended for shogeg.
Correct. In other words, it's, so we're not going to call this, you're absolutely right, this is not your classic carbon chatas. You're absolutely correct. This is a special carbon that's brought in Yom Kippur that facilitates tshuva, or kapara, for this individual.
This says, you know, it's brought, not an individual, it's brought by...
This is a communal, this is a communal carbon. This is brought on behalf of the entire Jewish people.
So how is it going to be applied to individuals?
So it serves one of its functions. One of its functions is it serves as a kapara for that individual person who violated that particular sin.
So there's nothing else he has to do.
Right. So what we're going to learn later on in the first parak of Shavuos is that this Mishnah over here follows the opinion of Rav Yehuda Hanasi. I'm going to remind everybody that we learned this in the end of Yuma. Rav Yehuda Hanasi is of the opinion that Yom Kippur by itself is a mechaper. Yom Kippur by itself serves as an atonement. According to Rav Yehuda, even without tshuva, even without doing tshuva, Yom Kippur serves as a mechaper. The Rambam does not follow the view of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda meaning Rav Yehuda Hanasi. The Rambam does not follow his view, but this Mishnah over here, which is edited and authored by Rav Yehuda Hanasi, follows the view of Rav Yehuda Hanasi. No. That's only for the shogegs. That's not going to be for our mezid. Our mezid is only going to be covered by this.
So the assumption is there is always be an individual in the Klal Yisrael that did something wrong. Always.
Well, no. I mean, why? Because why would you bring it? Why would you bring it if no one's going to serve as a kapara?
Right.
So, but I'm saying it's one of its functions. Then the other function is that's the avoda. Yom Kippur has a certain avoda. It's got a process to it, and this is part of the process. One of the benefits of the process is that it serves as a kapara.
Yeah, okay. Sits,
correct. Absolutely correct. The tzitz is also a kapara. In other words, the head plate worn by the Kohen, also one of its benefits is that it serves as a kapara.
Even the pasuk itself, by Yom Hanzeria.
Right? Correct. It just... Right. In other words, we have in it ourselves, we're ingrained in the idea that you need to do tshuva, and Rav Yehuda Hanasi has a fascinating view that you don't. I mean, Yom Kippur is a mechaper. Now, you can't rely on that because you don't know if you're going to make it to Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur, according to Rav Yehuda Hanasi, he serves as a kapara.
Observe the Yom Kippur or just...
Just the day. The day itself. Itsumo. The Gemara in Yuma says, Itsumo Shol Yom. The essence of the day serves as a kapara. Al Shara Ver Shabbatara. Now, it's funny because that special process that's done in Yom Kippur, with the goat and the blood of the goat sprinkled inside the Kodesh HaKadosh in Yom Kippur, it only atones for one Avera. There are a lot of Averas out there. And that goat only serves as a kapar for one Avera, that's it. What about all of our other Averas that we did? Al Shara Aver Shebetara, Hakalos V'Achamuros, the light ones, the heavy ones, Hasdonos V'Ashgagos, the intentional, the unintentional, Hoda V'lo Hoda, whether you knew, whether you didn't know. Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on that line in the Mishnah. Asa velosa ase, positive and negative commandments. Krisus and misus bezdin, whether it's an Issa Karis or whether it's Issa misus bezdin. Seir hamishtalech mechaper. There you have the seir hamishtalech, the goat that's sent off the cliff. That serves as a kapara. So now that goat that's sent off the cliff, Once it's sent off the cliff, the Jewish people now achieve kapara through that for all the other averos.
Is that because the Kohen brought
He does a vidui.
Correct.
He does a vidui for Klal Yisrael on that goat, and once that goat's sent, so all the sins go with it as well. Okay? That is the... That is our Mishnah. It's interesting, it's fascinating, for reasons which are well beyond me, right? We're basically going to take our mitzvahs and averus in the Torah, our averus in the Torah, and put them into two categories. In one category, you're going to have basically all the averus in the Torah, and in another one, you have tumas mikdash v'kadashah. For some reason, it's put in its own box. It has its own designation. And so for that, you have the seer bifnim, right? The goat that's brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Or not the goat, but the blood of the goat brought into the Beis HaMikdash.
The Musaf or the...
No, not, that's not the Musaf. The Musaf is the Chitzon, the Seir HaChitzon. This is, no, this is the one that was cast in the lottery.
L'Hashem.
Right, this is the one where it came up L'Hashem.
That doesn't seem to be...
Huh? They're included. They're in there. Don't worry.
Somebody has not contributed to the Chicago to buy this goat to the price of. I
hear you. I don't know. I hear. But anyway, so, and for some reason, we are, when you take all your averos and you divide them, I don't know, I would have maybe have been happier with a 50-50 division, or, and it's not. In other words, it's one avera of Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. And that your inner goat takes care of, and then there's everything else, and that's the Seir HaMishtaleach. And for whatever reason, that's our division. That's our division of Kapara on Yom Kippur. Does not seem to be a equitable and even distribution, but that's what it is. Okay. From here until the end of the Mishnah, to the end of the Daf, the only thing left up for discussion is where do the Kohanim get their Kapara from? Okay? So let's see this inside. So mechab echa yisov echa kohanim veecha. Sorry, lo sasa kriyas mitzvah based on seir mishlech mechab echa yisraelim veecha kohanim veecha kohen mashiach ma ben yisraelim lekohanim lekohen mashiach. What difference is there between Yisrael kohen kohen mashiach ela shahapar mechab ela kohanim al tumas mikdash vikadashav? According to the Tanakhama, there's only one subtle difference, and that is, where do the Kohanim get their kapara for Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav? So you'll say to me, oh, I know the answer, the Seir HaPnim, the Seir that's born inside. So the Mishnah says no. That comes from, for that, the par, the bull that's brought on Yom Kippur, where the Kohen does a vidui on the par. That is going to be the kapara for the Kohanim, specifically for Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. Okay? According to the Tanakhama, all Averos, most of the, let's say like this, most of the Averos, for all Jews, and for, when I say all Jews, and Kohanim included, even the Kohen Gadol, so for that, Seir HaMishtaleach, the goat that sent off the cliff. Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, now we're going to divide Yisrael from Kohen. So for the Yisrael, Seir HaPnim, for the Kohen, the par, the bull that's brought in Yom Kippur. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, no. Kishem Shedam Asir Nasa Bifnim Mechaper Yisrael, Kach Dam HaPar Mechaper Ala Kohanim. Just like the seer, the blood of the seer serves as a kapara for Yisrael, so too the blood of the bull also serves as a kapara for the Kohanim. Kishem shevidu yav al seir mishtalech mechaper al Yisrael, kach vidu yav shapar mechaper al Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol does a vidui on the par. When you remember your Musaf of Yom Kippur, and you remember your Avodah, so you'll see that one of the viduyim that are done on the bull is that the Kohen does vidui for all the Kohanim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, he says, look, here's what I know. Vidui is done on the goat, on the Seir, Seir HaMishtaleach. And that serves as a kapara for all the Jewish people, for all their sins. There's a vidui done on the bull, so Rabbi Shimon says, it's got to be the same thing. It's got to be that the vidui done on the bull is there to provide a kapara for all the averos, for all the Kohanim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, his division is a much bigger division between Yisrael versus Kohen. For Yisrael, they get their kapara through Seir HaMishtaleach. For Kohanim, they get a kapara for all other averos, not Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, for all other averos from the par, from the bull that's brought on Yom Kippur.
The sequence, the par goes first.
The bull goes first, and then the seir. Okay, fine. Okay, so that's our Mishnayos. Right, and welcome to Shavuos, and for the next two weeks, right? Next 49 days, Masechta Shavuos. Specifically, the next 3 weeks, we're going to be discussing Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. Okay.